Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for meditation today is written in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 44 to 46 and 51 and 52. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." So far the text. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, do you have any special treasures tucked away somewhere at home? Maybe a family heirloom that you particularly cherish, an article of jewelry, a ring or other trinket you received from a loved one that you view as exceedingly precious. Maybe there's a present you got during a Christmas past that is special to you because it was given to you by a dear one. You find great joy and satisfaction in that particular item. I think we probably all have such items stowed, perhaps maybe even displayed prominently somewhere in the house. Not so much because necessarily the monetary value of the item, but because of the relationship of love we've enjoyed or used to enjoy with the person who gave it to us. Well, there's an item we all have as Christians and hold as very dear indeed, and that is the gift that our Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us in the precious gospel of his Son. And in today's sermon, by means of the three mini parables that Jesus related, we're going to be encouraged to always view the gospel as our greatest treasure. Greatest possession treasured for its worth, for our own joy and comfort, and then also that we might share it with others that they might possess it and find joy in it too. Speaking of treasures or hidden treasure, there is a happening from yesteryear in my life that comes to mind. Each year around Easter in the city where I grew up, the Parks and Recreation Department would sponsor an Easter egg hunt at a local park. Dozens of brightly colored eggs were prepared by the Parks and Rec Department and hidden in bushes and in the grass of Taylor Park for children to hunt. And one feature of that hunt that made it especially attractive for kids is that there was one very, very special egg, a golden egg, that had a very special prize inside. No one knew what it was, and I never was fortunate to ever find it, that golden egg, or what was inside of it, but it sure was fun looking for it. When our text, you know how Jesus, in the first two of his three mini parables, speaks to us about a treasure hunt of sorts, and a very special prize for those who discover it. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who is looking for fine pearls. Back in those days, due to wars and raids and the difficulty of finding a secure place to store your valuables at home, before there were such things as fireproof safes, homeowners would often resort to burying in the ground on their property a portion of their valuables. And they were also very willing, so I read, to pay incredible sums of money for mint condition, perfectly round, pristine white pearls. By these two parables, Jesus is picturing, of course, for us the incalculable worth of the gospel message that God has revealed to us, his love for sinners. He wants us to rejoice as we think about this, how blessed we are to know and believe and possess this message that God loved us and gave his Son to die for our sins on the cross, that all of our missteps against his holy law, which made us liable for his punishment, were charged against Jesus, and all Jesus' goodness and holiness and pristine perfection have been credited to us by faith, so that we can boast that we are God's dear children and destined to receive an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven. Can you think of a gift more valuable than that? Or can you think of news more important for us to hear for the happiness of our lives on earth and for our eternal blessedness in the hereafter? That Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And that there is indeed laid up for us the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to us on that day. Let's notice also how Jesus describes this treasure in those first two of the three mini parables. He says it was hidden from view, picturing it first as being buried, as mentioned, in a field, as something in the second mini parable the merchant had to go and look for and search hard for. And so it was with respect to God's gospel treasure. It was hidden from our view. Many are the passages of the Bible that speak about that. Like when Paul, he said to the Romans, the gospel is a mystery hidden for long ages past. To the Corinthians, he wrote, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of. And with reference to our future heavenly homecoming day, when we'll pass through gates of pearl, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. It was a hidden truth, way above our understanding and comprehension, how the Lord could possibly transform our bodies from what they currently are, sinful, corrupt, and mortal, so that they will one day be holy and incorruptible and immortal. These truths, hidden as they are from the mind of natural man, no longer are hidden from us. We know them, and that is because the Lord, in his love, uncovered them for us. He has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Like parents who maybe some of you parents have done that. You arrange an Easter egg hunt for your kids in the backyard. Sometimes we'll lead them almost to the very spot where you've hidden the egg so that your children can discover it for themselves and put it in their basket. Even so, our Heavenly Father has enabled us to stumble across, as it were. Not really stumble, but he's shown us the meaning, the truth of the gospel. In the one place where it can be found, his holy word. Like he did for, I think of the stories in the Bible, the Emmaus disciples uncovered the glory of the Easter gospel for them as they walked the road to Emmaus. The man from Ethiopia, through the evangelist Philip, the Philippian jailer, the help of and the guidance of the apostle Paul and Barnabas, the Roman centurion, through the help of the apostle Peter, and so on and so forth. Countless thousands of others down through the centuries of time, including you and me today. Other pearls of great price that might be mentioned, we could go on and on with that list, but the several that come to mind which the Lord has uncovered for us is the precious diamond of your baptism when he adopted you to be his child. And there's the gem of the Lord's Supper that he instituted for you. We receive personal assurance of his forgiving love. There's the golden nugget of heavenly truth that he sets before us in our epistle lesson. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to his purpose. In Romans 8, verse 28. Also in the ongoing COVID pandemic and all the other pains and troubles and trials of our lives, to know that what God ordains is always good. Isn't that a wonderful treasure to know that? These and countless other pearls of great price our Father has dumped onto our laps, through which he blesses us with the peace that the world can't give and all the money that is produced at the Denver Mint cannot buy. And what about that third mini parable that Jesus relates in our text? What is its meaning? Where Jesus asked, "Have you understood these things?" And then the disciples replied, "Yes." And then he said to them, "Every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Well, here Jesus is saying that all those who have been instructed, taught, who have learned about the precious truths of his kingdom, for whom the Holy Spirit has uncovered and revealed the priceless worth of the gospel of Christ, are kind of like the owner of a house who has a room inside that's so well furnished with articles of value and treasures galore. The picture that comes to my mind is one of those Hollywood movies like The Jewel of the Nile, where these treasure hunters go into Egypt and try to find in a pyramid a storeroom of treasure, and they open the door and whoa! All that gold. Point being, Jesus gives us as his disciples so great a treasure that we have more than we need for ourselves. We can distribute it and dispense it for others, for their joy too. You ever wondered why there are so many religions in the world? Why there are so many idol gods that people worship? Why people are tempted to get caught up in the drug scene and the overuse of alcohol and other addictions? The underlying reason is because they're looking, they're searching, they're wanting to find something to fill that void that's in their heart that only the Lord can fill. It's been said that everybody has, as it were, a Jesus-sized piece in their soul. And until they know Jesus by the Spirit's working, they often try to fill that void with things they think will make them complete and happy, but it never works. Try as they might to jam some other thing into the Jesus spot. All those other things are like temporary fixes at best. The feeling of happiness and fulfillment they provide soon wears off, and soon comes again the feelings of emptiness and what's the point, pointlessness of life. And so the Lord in this little parable, the third one, he teaching us about, he's given us the privilege to share with others that one thing needed that we already possess, that he will use to relieve the restlessness in the human soul that gives people true peace and joy even amidst life's pains and troubles. That though Jesus was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor so that we, through his poverty, might be everlastingly rich. Several examples I also might share with you, more concrete examples in the nuts and bolts of everyday living, how, you know, to share the treasures of Christ with others. Maybe you know somebody who's been worrying about how they're going to pay the bills and make ends meet because they're unemployed. Might share the gospel gem in Matthew where Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Cast your care upon him, he will care for you. Or maybe there's a friend who confides to you that they're troubled about a sin that they have committed in their past, dealing with guilt feelings. You might share the precious ruby from John's letter. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. Or maybe somebody shares with you how another person has wronged them and they're feeling, harboring feelings of resentment and anger towards them. Might provide you with an opening for sharing a pearl like Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. Lots of opportunities in our lives. Sometimes we don't even have to search for them. One I might share with you in closing this morning that occurred last week, opportunity I was given. Some of you know that the lawn sprinkling system at the parsonage got broke, so we called a company to come out and take a look and do repairs, and the technician came by last Thursday, knew it was a parsonage, knew I was a pastor, a young man in his early 20s, and out of the blue, he asked me, is God really triune? Does the Bible teach God is a triune God? So I had opportunity to mention how there are passages in the Bible that show the Father is God, our loving Creator, Jesus the Son is God, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is shown also to be God, our Comforter and our Sanctifier. And there are also passages that speak about the Lord our God being one. It's the mystery of the Holy Trinity. So we pray the Lord may use such opportunity to lead people into their Bibles and search for the buried treasure that the Lord has put there for them to find in the gospel of Jesus. I'm sure you could share stories like that too. So we pray in closing. Dear Lord Jesus, bless us through our instruction and training up in your word. increase our understanding of the truths of your word and our appreciation for the treasures you've uncovered for us there. Bless the efforts that we make for sharing your gospel pearls for the welfare of souls and the glory of your name. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.